The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Baton Rouge, Monday and Tuesday this week. And it was put on by a guy by the name of David Lane. How many of you know who David Lane is? Anybody? Of course you don't, because he's not in the public eye. But he is doing something that I believe is going to have a great impact on our nation. He's a businessman, very wealthy man. And he started an organization, and it's called the Renewal of America, or America Renewal Project is the exact name. And he's going into different states, and what he does is he invites all the pastors to come to a very nice hotel, like we were at the Hilton Hotel, and put us up for 2 days, all food, all room, even paid for my parking, which was, I thought, pretty good, and asked for nothing. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop for him to ask, you know, for some money to help, you know, meet the need, or money for his organization. I didn't want to die. He said, why in the world would a guy do that? And I'll tell you why. Because he believes that our nation is in great trouble. And the trouble is primarily caused not by the politicians, not by the governmental system, not by Mr. Obama or anybody like him, not by George Bush, not by anyone else, but the problem is right here looking at you. It's the pulpits. And it's interesting that from a historical perspective, our nation, as you know, you've heard me say this before, was not created, and the ideal didn't come forth with the founding fathers. It really came forth from the pulpits. The pulpits spoke out against the injustices that were being done, the things that were against God, and they believed that they needed to break away from England. And that's what really stirred the pot. That didn't happen in 1776. That happened way back in the 1600s when it started. It came to a boiling point in the early 1700s. So they established the nation. They didn't establish a church, but they established a nation that was had the values of the Judeo-Christian people. And those values cared about people. Values saw the worth in individuals, saw a need for a government that was not the oppressive government that existed historically throughout the world, but a government, as our documents say, of the people, by the people, and for the people. And they created this anomaly called America. There's never in the history of the world been a place like America. And one of the things that they brought up at this conference is that America is not so much a nation as it is an idea. It's an idea that believes in a creator. It's an idea that believes in the value of life. It's an idea that believes in the value of people having a way to make their own way so that you could do things without anyone oppressing you. And they created this place. They said, we're endowed by our creator. So they recognized that we were created, you know, with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that those things cannot be taken away from us because they're not given to us by a government, but they are given to us, to use the word unalienable or inalienable rights, something that it's obvious to everyone. You just look and you see it. People want to be free. And they created this thing called America. And it's been under a barrage of attacks from the day the ink was penciled, penned on the documents to this very day. And there's a new religion, actually two new religions, that are very, very, very intent on the destruction of the idea of America. One of them is Islam. Islam wants to take over the world. That's their intent. That's what they want. They believe anyone who is not Islamic, is not worshiping Muhammad and Allah, needs to be dead or converted, one of the two. All right? I mean, that's their motivation. That's their goal. So don't, now, this is not to say that there aren't good people in Islam. There are good people in everything, all right? But when you look at it from the prism of America, where we want liberty for people, Islam doesn't want liberty. Islam wants to control people. They want to have Sharia law, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to go into all the details of that, but that's one religion. The other is the religion of the leftists. That's a word that you would most likely recognize, or liberals. And they believe that they have the answer for your life. And they want to control you. And one of the things that they do is they divide people, particularly Americans, into groups. And each of these groups are victims. And the only way to solve the problems of those victims is for government to do that. You don't have a medical insurance? We'll create, you're a victim, and you belong to a certain group of people, and we'll create something that the government can do to take care of you, hence the birth of Obamacare. All right? You're black, you're a victim. And only the government can solve your problems. You're Hispanic, you're an illegal alien, you're a victim. And only the government can solve your problem. It goes on and on. I mean, you can just name the groups one after another. And if you are opposed to those groups, you are politically incorrect and you're using hate speech. If you're a homosexual, you can't speak out against that. If you want to have a homosexual faux marriage, it's not a marriage. It's a faux marriage. It's like faux paint. Then the government wants to help you, and if you speak out against that, you are using hate speech. Now, they decided that God is not good, so the best thing to do with God is just to make him non-existent. Hence the move to remove prayer from schools, prayer from public places, remove the Bible from school, remove the Bible from public places, and to try to neutralize the effect of God in the nation. And that's a religion. Now, they wouldn't call it a religion, but it is. It's because a religion is something that you believe in and you foster and you make happen and you, in a sense, worship that. And so liberalism and leftists worship that. Now, you may think that, you know, I've gone off the deep end. This is, you see it. It's in the newspapers. It's everywhere. It's a wave that is moving against America. And because you happen to be of a Judeo-Christian value system, and you happen to be of a Christian value system, that movement is against you. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you don't see anything happen. So, what's the cause? David Lane believes, and he didn't speak publicly, by the way, but I've just, you know, read some things and I've heard some other things about him. He's got a webpage you can go to. The problem starts with guys like me who won't tell you these things. And we've been quiet. And our silence has been acquiescence. And we don't want to talk about things like this in the church environment. We're here to preach the gospel, and that is absolutely true. But if we use the model in America, and I'm not talking about around the world, but if you use the model that's in America, the pulpits have always been the voice to bring information to the people. That's historically been true. In America, the most educated people were the pastors. They'd been to school, seminary degrees. They studied a lot. They were aware of things. And they brought that to people because most of the people were working. They were hard workers. They were trying to scratch out a life and live and survive. So that's what the pulpits were doing. The best way for you to understand this is to understand what happened in Europe. Europe decided to change from a Christian perspective to a social perspective. And they did what's happening in America right now. The worst case of that is what you see took place in Germany. I mean, that's the most contemporary thing that you and I can identify with. When the leftists spoke out against the Judeo-Christian values, and the pulpits were so weak that they couldn't or wouldn't speak out. And the end result of that was somewhere, nobody knows the number, somewhere between 60 to 75 million people died. Not to mention the Holocaust and the murder of the Judean. Why the Jews? Why them? Because they personify the values that we cling to here in America. You know, we're not under the law, but the law does things. Thou shalt not murder. That's a Judeo-Christian value. Thou shalt not steal. That's a Judeo-Christian value. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Judeo-Christian value. Honor your father and mother. A Judeo-Christian value. You know, just go through the whole list. Honor God. Love your neighbor. Those are Judeo-Christian values that permeate the idea of America and who we are. Someone said this, and you've probably heard this, you can go to any nation in the world and live there your entire life. You'll never be a Frenchman. You'll never be a German. You'll never be in Afghanistan. You'll never be one of them. You can live there. You can pay taxes there. You can claim that it's your home country, but you will never be one of them. This idea called America says, come here, everybody who's hurting, and we will take you in, and we will give you a place to be what God wants you to be. When you come to this nation, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've seen it on TV, where those who've come here and have gone through the process of gaining citizenship, and to see these people stand there and raise their hand and swear their allegiance to this nation, it'll bring you to tears. It'll bring you to tears. And they are Americans. Just look around at us. We don't look alike. We're just so different from, we have brown skin and red skin and white skin and big jaws and little jaws and big features and little features, and we're tall and we're short. I mean, we're so recognizable because we have nothing to recognize, you know? I mean, you can't say, well, that's an American, you know? And the blackest people from Africa or the whitest people from Scandinavia can all come here and be Americans. I just discovered this. there are more African Americans, excuse me, let me rephrase it, there are more Africans who come to America now than ever were brought here through slavery. Why do they come here? They had a guy on TV yesterday talking about this. TV was in a movie I saw. We went to see the movie America. I really encourage you to go see it if you haven't seen it. It's really, really good, all right? They had a guy on the border down in Texas. He was a former Border Patrol agent. And the guy who was interviewing him said, well, we've got this fence here. He said, I guess we have as many people climbing over the fence to get into Mexico as we do climbing over the fence to get here. And the guy says, yeah. I said, no. He said, you mean people don't want to go on the other side of the fence to Mexico? He said, no. He said, well, how many people have you seen go over the fence the other direction? He said, in 25 years, no. Nobody wants to leave. Everybody wants to come. Why? Why do people want to come here by the droves? Why? Because there's something here that's worth coming for. And it's the ideal of freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness that our founding fathers established. That is eroding. It's being eroded away. And we, now I'm going to include you, are letting it happen. If the Judeo-Christian people will do our American duty, it would not happen. Here's something now these numbers, I've heard several kinds of groups of numbers, but the numbers I'm going to give you are pretty much going to paint the picture for you. In the last presidential election, of the people who claim to be Christians, now that doesn't mean they would agree with you and me on all the things that we agree on, but they at least go to church usually once a week. Okay? That's what they claim. Of that group of people, only 40% of them are registered to vote. Hmm? 90 million people. All right. 40% of them are registered to vote. Of the ones who are registered to vote, only about 40% vote. Is that right? And of that group, a vast majority of them vote leftist, liberal candidates and principles. If just the Christians, if just the ones who are registered to vote, would vote Judeo-Christian values, it would turn the tide on what's happening in America. For instance, in Nevada, Harry Reid is not a big friend of most of you, that I probably know, all right? And I know a guy who's from Nevada when the election was going on for Harry Reid's seat last time, and he said he was going to vote for him. I said, why would you vote for that man? And I started telling him Harry Reid's record, but he wasn't interested. And this is a Christian, by the way, that I was speaking to. All right? Harry Reid won by 7,000 votes. Had the Christian community voted the Judeo-Christian values of the idea of America, Harry Reid would be picking cotton or doing something else. But he wouldn't be controlling the United States Senate. So it's important that we together know this and purpose to do something about it. So what can we do? The big problem is, I can highlight for you all the things that are wrong, but what we need to know is, what can we do? What can we do? Well, it's a very simple thing that we can do. We can register to vote. We can vote. And we vote Judeo-Christian values. Now, what are those? There's a couple of things to just make it easy for you. Anyone who says that they will support abortion, don't get your vote. Anyone who says that they believe in the destruction of the family through homosexual faux marriage, don't get your vote. Huh? Anyone who doesn't uphold the Constitution of the United States and what it stands for, don't get your vote. I mean, it's just some simple things. And it's pretty easy to get that information. I'll get some information for you, just the voting records of people. It's available. I mean, it's really easy to get. Okay? So, that's the simplest thing we could do. The other thing is, and Rose is right, to be ready to share our Christian faith and our Christian values. I had a child myself. I had the opportunity to speak out I'm not real crazy about Facebook and all that stuff, but something was being said during the last election that somebody was really crying that we needed to, it was a homosexual guy, was crying out and asking the people on Facebook to vote for Mr. Obama because he was in favor of homosexual rights. And I didn't get in the fray. I was busy and I really didn't want to. And I told Pat, I made a mistake. I should have jumped in. You know, I didn't want to, but I should have jumped in. And I think what we need to do is start jumping in. One of the speakers at the conference we went to said, we don't want to get in a fight, but somebody's picked a fight with us. Had one of these guys, he was a really good speaker. He's a cowboy from, where's that guy from? Somewhere in Texas. And he told a story, and I'm going to try to tell his story, but you'll get the picture. He said he's got a boy, and he's a man's man. I mean, you see him and listen to him, he's a man's man. But he's also God's man, you know. And he said, you know, a boy needs a good horse. He needs to have a good horse. He said, and soon as my boy was at the age where I thought he could handle a horse, he said, I went out and picked him out a really, really, really good horse. He said, now one thing about a horse is it needs to know who's in control. And he said, the first word that the horse needs to understand is the word whoa. He said, when you say whoa, that horse has got a whoa. So he said he got this horse with his boy, and it was a beautiful horse, you know, but the horse just didn't want to cooperate. And he said he was going out early one morning, he said before light, just light was just starting to happen, about 5 o'clock in the morning, he was out getting his horse ready, and he told his boy to go get his horse, saddle him up and bring it. And he could hear this little whiny voice, come on, stop it, you up here. And he said, it just grated against me that he's got that little whiny voice. He said, I'll talk like a man. He said, now holler over to him. Just tell him to whoa. He said, whoa, whoa. And that horse just would not cooperate. He said, it just got him mad as a wet head. He said, so he went over there, grabbed his lariat and his rope, and he said, went over there, and there was that horse in the corral. And just every time he tried to get near him, that horse would just move away. He said, I walked up to the horse and said, whoa. The horse just looked at me. He said, he started backing away. He said, I took and spun it and grabbed him around the neck. He said, when I say whoa, I mean whoa. He said, that horse took off running. He said, and I had that. He said, it was a nylon rope in his hand. He said, I'm holding on to that rope with both hands. And that horse started running and running and running. He said, and finally jumped over the fence and just took off. He said, my hands were just a mess. He said, he wouldn't whoa. He said, now that really made me mad. Said, I went and got in my pickup truck. Said, I drove behind that horse. I said, when he finally stopped, he said, I just got up close as I could to him. And I reached down, I grabbed that rope, and I put a hitch right on the back of that trailer hitch in my truck. Said, and I started pulling that horse. He said, he didn't want to come, but he started coming because he couldn't stand on his feet. And he said, I drug him. He said, I drug him all the way back to the corral where my boy was. He said, and I put my foot right on his neck. said, when I say whoa, I mean whoa. He said, boy, get over here and put your foot on this horse's neck. He needs to learn who's the boss. He said, and he put his foot on his neck. I said, when he let that horse up, he said, when he say whoa, he said, that horse would just start trembling. Because he knew it was time to whoa. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of the story, but I want to stop it right there. Because he said there's a time when you need to say whoa. He says, and the time is now. There won't be an American ideal left if we, the church, the believers, the Americans who espouse the Judeo-Christian values don't do something. Now, I'm not talking about the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about people getting saved. I'm not talking about the second coming. I'm talking about this place we live called America. You know, and I don't know about you. I don't know where all y'all come from, but I'm pretty close to not being here. My grandfather left everything, got on a boat, and made it to this place. And I remember my grandfather didn't even speak English. Not that he didn't want to, but he spoke broken English. But he made sure that his kids spoke English and that his grandkids spoke English. And he lived the American dream. My granddaughter just graduated from college up in Virginia, and she just sent me a little note thanking me for a gift that Pat and I sent. And I wrote back to her, and I said, I was just so proud of her. I said, when Grandpa came over here, all he wanted to do was just get some food and a place to sleep. Never dreamed that one of his great-great-granddaughters would graduate as a civil engineer. That we have doctors and lawyers and engineers, and we've got it's a big family. And we have succeeded way beyond what Grandpa ever dreamed possible. See, he couldn't do it in Sicily, but he came here and cut out a life for himself. And I'm a recipient of that. And when I see it slipping away, and I feel so impotent to do anything about it, that's why this conference helped me so much to realize and to rethink and to bring to you a message. And I'm going to be bringing you some more messages to try to give you the truth so that you can do what we need to do. You know, if you go read, how many of you ever read the Declaration of Independence through? Let me see, all right, good. How many of you read the Constitution through? Good. When's the last time you read it? It's time to go read it again. Just go on the internet. You can get it anywhere. All right? Go read it again. They said, if you get to the place where the government won't listen to you, whoa, it's time to do something about it. They even said to change the government. I'm not in favor of overthrowing the government, you know. But I believe we can work with what we got. I think it's a great system. I mean, it's lasted so long, you know, over 225, 35 years, whatever the math is on that. And it's a good system. And it's designed, and what makes it work, and this is one of the things that makes it work, is that good people who espouse the Judeo-Christian values do what's right. And the founding father said, if we don't do that, the government can't last. So when you take these values out, you are causing the government, America, the ideal, to teeter, okay? And there are forces working against it, all right? So we just can't be passive about this and sit around. Now, you might say, and I don't know, I mean, Maybe somebody listening on the internet even now would say, you know, what are you doing talking about all this stuff in church? You're supposed to be preaching. I am preaching. You know? I am preaching. Preaching what we need to know. We need to know. If we won't do it, who's going to do it? Yes, you can ask me a question. Well, hold on a second. Let me get a mic in case we're recording this and somebody want to know what you asked me. All right.
We're really concerned about the train loads of people that they're bringing in from Central America and Mexico, mm-hmm. including children. Mm-hmm. And Ro and I are wondering, like, they're on the tops of the freight trains riding in. We've seen pictures, mm-hmm. and they had a wreck the other day, and like 1,000 people got either hurt or injured or,
yeah.
you know, so I'm wondering, because I believe in immigration, mm-hmm. you know, his Dietrich and Durman family mm. came from Germany. Mm. But what do we do now that they've totally opened the borders and some of our people here don't have jobs and they're bringing in these trainloads of people? I'm really concerned. I wondered what you thought.
Well, that's a good question. In the short run, nothing. I mean, what can you do? I mean, we can't stop. We can't fix what nobody in the government's been willing to fix. We have borders for a reason. Those borders need to be protected. And we need to bring people in and find ways. If you take all of the Latinos out of America, you're not going to have much left. One thing that's wrong is that Europeans stop having children. And that's one of the things that hurts. So immigration is good for us as a nation. So we need immigration. We need new blood, new people coming in, new kids. Because if we won't have the kids, let's just bring them in. Because otherwise the population will decrease, okay? That's another story unto itself. But what do you do with people that are here? Well, our Judeo-Christian values say, if you're hungry, give them something to eat. If you're thirsty, give them something to drink. I'm not in favor of throwing people in boxcars like they did in Nazi Germany and driving them back over the border. They got in. It's our fault they got in. But our value systems say that we help people. And we do have a heart that hurts when we see someone. It doesn't give me any joy to see children who don't belong here. But I'm going to tell you what. If I lived in South America, and if I had kids, and if I couldn't feed them, and if I couldn't get them in legally, I'd be making sure they got over the border too. One of the things they showed in this movie, America, where in the, I guess it was the Spanish-American War, or the Mexican War, when we actually went all the way down and took all of, the United States captured all of Mexico. They showed it on the map. We had the whole thing. But we retreated back to what's now currently the border. And a guy made a comment. He said, I bet you a lot of the folks down there wish we wouldn't have left. Because if we wouldn't have, their economy would be here. What makes our economy great is this. The American ideal that a person can be whatever they want to be so long as it doesn't break the law. And the laws are not supposed to be so heinous that it keeps us from doing things. You want to start a business? You want to be a contractor? You can be one. You don't have to go to work for the government. And that's what makes us great, the fact that we can own property. You can own a piece of land. You can own something, and it's yours, and nobody can take it away from you. That's the things that make us great. The idea that you can come here and be something. I don't want to give a sad story, but, you know, I came from pretty humble beginnings. I mean, we didn't, I tell Pat this story. She doesn't believe it's true, but I remember it this way. We were so poor that my mother used to make weenie soup. And on Saturday or Sunday, we'd get to eat the weenie. Otherwise, we were just eating soup. Well, I remember us being poor. We didn't have a lot. But you know what I had? I had somebody who believed in the American ideal was my daddy. And he told me a million times, he said, son, you can do better than I've done. And I believed him. And I've done so much better than my dad ever dreamed of. He had a fourth grade education. He worked in a factory where the temperature was up to 130 degrees to make money to put me through school. Sent me to the best school that he could find in the city of New Orleans, and I'd get a good education. I remember as a boy, I wanted to go to where my daddy worked and see what it was like. He never let me go to the factory. He said, "No, sir, you can't come in here." He said, I don't want you to see it. I want you to look beyond this place." And that's the vision, that's the dream. But it's being eroded away. Now, if you don't work, you're a victim, and who takes care of you? Uncle Sam. Does this number $17 trillion in counting mean anything to you? Does the number borrowing 40% of your expenditures from foreign governments mean anything to you? Does the fact that we have enough oil and natural gas here in the United States to sustain us for as long as we need to develop alternate sources of fuel, and yet we're, as somebody said, the greatest exchange of wealth known to man, the wealth of America, is going to people on the other side of the world who would kill you if they had a chance. Whoa! And we need to vote to get people who understand that into office. I don't care whether they're purple or yellow or black or green. It is not a race issue. It's not, it really doesn't even matter whether it's a Christian issue. I would prefer Christians, but if you're a Jew and you espouse the Judeo-Christian values, I'm on your side. I'll vote for you. Stand up for things I believe in. If you never go to church and you espouse those values and your voting record shows that, I'll vote for you. The dilemma comes is when I have two people to vote for and neither one of them espouse those values. That's where the dilemma comes in. What do you do then? And you need to prayerfully consider what to do. What I do is pick the lesser of two evils because I don't know what else to do. But when good men and women do nothing, this is what you get. I used to think, maybe you can identify with this. I used to think people were a lot smarter than me. I used to think everybody was smarter than me. Because I had trouble in school, and I believed that. And my grades showed that. I think today, in today's environment, they say, you got dyslexia, you need to wear glasses or something. I don't know. I found out I was pretty, the older I got, the smarter I got. And I found out I could get straight A's in college, and I did. I went to seminary and got straight A's. How did I do that? I don't know, something was wrong when I was a kid. I didn't get it, I don't know. But I used to think people were smarter than me. You know what I've discovered? Please understand what I'm saying is not being boastful, but I'm smarter than most of the politicians I've met. I really am. I'm smarter than most of the lawyers I've met. I'm smarter than most of the doctors I've met. And I'm not that smart. And you know what we do? We elect these people to public office, and you want to know why we get the dumb decisions we get? Why we say things like, "I never dreamed I'd live long enough to see fill in the blank." Because we've let it happen. I don't have the answer to everything. I really don't. I wish I could say, if we did this, this, and this, it would work. But I tell you what I'm doing. I'm just one guy. And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it with you again. I was so despondent and so depressed over the last electoral election. I tell you what, I really thought about it. I thought about moving. The thought crossed my mind. Maybe it's time to go back to Sicily. I wouldn't do it, but I thought about it. And then God told me and said, just get busy where you are. That was on a Sunday in this church. You didn't know it. I was sitting up here worshiping the Lord. The Lord spoke that to me. On Monday, I met with Bill Borchardt, guy who owns this building, who happens to be a city councilman. And I said, "Bill, didn't our mayor say something about wanting to have prayer breakfast in this town? And Bill said, he sure did. He said, I think I'll talk to him about it. That afternoon, my phone rang. So the mayor wants to meet with us about having a prayer breakfast, a mayor's prayer breakfast. And the rest is history. That happened in less than 6 weeks. It was a monumental task to put it together. Those of you who went walked out of that place stunned at what happened. It was probably the best, quote, church service I've ever been in. And then we had another one. And then the mayor says, we need to do this every month. And he asked all the ministers to come together. All the ministers meet with the mayor of our town every month. You know how many towns that happens in? Not very many. So what does that mean? Influence of the Judeo-Christian values among ourselves. And we're making decisions about our town. Our city council, 9 members who can't agree on anything. I mean, they're almost as bad as the Congress. They decided on their own to bring up a motion, and they voted 9-0 to make the mayor's annual prayer breakfast a citywide thing that will go beyond our current mayor. And what they said was, if anybody decides they don't like it, they'll just have to deal with the whole city because we're all behind this. Now, remember, just me sitting up here listening to God, talking to one guy. Then we got the whole city council. I don't even know if they know my name. Well, they do now. You know, but look what happened. Who knows what influence you can have with one person in one place? I don't know what God could use you for. But I know this. If we don't do something, at least vote. This Judeo-Christian ideal is slipping away. In fact, it's not slipping away. It's sliding away very quickly. It's time to say, whoa. Yes, sir.
I remember it very clearly. When I first became a Christian, I was at First Assembly here in Slidell. And Congressman Livingston, this is in 1977. Mm-hmm. Congressman Livingston came to that church on a Sunday. I was only at that church 3 months. Mm-hmm. And he said, if all of the good people are not voting, who's voting?
That's right. And they are voting. I promise you that these groups vote en masse. Why? Because if they don't get the people who are giving them the goodies, the entitlements, you've heard that word? If they don't get the entitlements, they are in trouble. Yes, Pat, do you want to say something? Yeah, 96% of the homosexual community votes, and they vote in bloc, en masse, for their agendas and the things they want. Well, this was interesting at that meeting. You know Ted Cruz? You've heard of Ted Cruz? His daddy was there, and his daddy spoke. And his daddy escaped from Castro's prison, where he was beaten and imprisoned, and God only knows what, interrogated, I think they use that word about him. And he spoke about the Judeo-Christian values and the idea of America. Passionately spoke about it, as you could well imagine. He spoke about secular humanism, where there are no absolute values. You know, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, I'm the way, but the thing that interests me, he said, I'm the truth. There aren't not multiple truths. There's only one truth on any issue. And if you take away absolutes, it's whatever you feel, whatever you think. How you feel about stuff, as opposed to Listen to this. I'm reading a book written by a Jewish guy right now about this very subject. He said over 30 years he's done a little survey, and he's asked young people this question. If your pet was drowning and another human being was drowning, which one would you save? 30% of the people said they would save the other human being. 2/3 said they would save their pet. Whoa. Talk about your value system slipping away. You want to know why? The last numbers I saw, and it's been several years since I've looked it up, the last numbers I saw of young people between the ages of 13 and 21, I believe, only 4% would consider themselves Christians and go to church. 4%. When you get up to people over 65, that number is like about close to 70%. You know what's happened to people 65 and over? They're dying. Going to glory. What about your grandkids and their kids? What's going to be left for them? He says silence is not an option. Politicians want power and control. Power and control. And they will do. Now, these are people who don't espouse Judeo-Christian values, all right? They will do anything to stay in there and keep their power and keep their control. I had something here I wanted to show you. I wanted to read from. Oh, you know who else was there? Was Mike Huckabee. He's so cool. He is what you seem to be. He's just a nice principal guy. I've told you this before about Angola. I met the warden from Angola last time I went to a meeting in Baton Rouge. The same group. This was last year. And Mike Huckabee and David Lane. Not Bob Ewan. I'm thinking of. David Barton, you know, the guy, the Christian historian, he went there, and several others, they went to Angola. These men were in tears telling us about Angola. And as he said, here is one of the worst prisons in the United States of America. Over 96% of the inmates in Angola will never come out alive. They'll either be executed or they will die there. But Warden King decided that his guards were cussing too much, and there was too much vulgarity, and he said, no more foul language in this prison. And he said, and I don't want the prisoners using it either. We will have no foul languages. That's what started it. The Louisiana government, for some reason, decided to take all the educational material and courses and that for the prisoners out. So the warden put out a call to churches to see if churches could help fill the void. The New Orleans Baptist Seminary, my alma mater, yay, go New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. The chancellor said, hey, we'll give you all the books you need, and by the way, if you want, we'll open a school there for you. And they opened the first seminary in a prison in the nation. I forget how many hundreds of men have graduate degrees from the New Orleans Baptist Seminary, Angola. It transformed the entire prison system. And when we met him, he was talking to Pat and I, and he told Pat, he said, you would be safer walking in an Angola prison than you will be on any street in the United States of America. There'll be no catcalls. no disrespect to you. They will respect you. And what these guys said, Huckabee and the rest of them, they said, there it is. If you just have the right person at the right place, one warden who just decided he had heard enough filthy language, and the rest is history. They have, I forget how many churches they have. They have their own denominations up there. 15 churches in Angola prison. Yeah, among 6,000 prisoners. And they're doing such a good job, the other prisoners in Louisiana and throughout the United States are asking him to transfer prisoners to their prison so they can do the same thing there. Isn't that amazing? And these guys who went were stunned at what they said. They had heard some good things. In fact, I think Huckabee said it, or one of the guys said, they were encouraged to go visit the prison. And they said, oh, yeah, we really want to go visit Angola while we're here in Louisiana. But they went, and it changed them. It changed them. Said things like, we don't need to elect Christian men. We just need Christian voters. That's what Huckabee said. He said, don't worry about the IRS statute, whether or not you're going to lose your IRS statute and you won't be able to take your tax deduction on your income tax. He said, you better worry about God. You need to give because of God, not because of the IRS. He said, the political system acts like a mob. It has no honor. And that's what's happening. He said, we cannot and will not let the government become God. And he said, they think the Supreme Court rules? He said, the Supreme Court is ruled by the Supreme God. And we need to understand that. This is an interesting thought. This one guy that I'm reading his book, his name is... Dennis Prager, P-R-A-G-E-R. He said he talks to his Jewish fellow countrymen, for lack of a better word, and wants to know why they belong to the Democratic Party, and why they vote leftist, liberal issues. And he said, he tells them this, if you keep doing that, the Judeo-Christian values that exist in this nation will disappear. And he says, historically, when a nation falls and the totalitarian government takes over, you know what the first thing they do? They kill all the Jews. He said, and that's what you're voting for when you vote that way. Think about that. I mean, that's coming from, the horse's mouth, so to speak. He talks about our money having in God we trust in it. So that says a lot. So you couldn't get it done today. But when they did it, it's a message for everyone that it's in God we trust. And if we stop trusting in God, we're going to be in trouble. I didn't plan on saying any of this morning, so if it's disjointed, forgive me. But I just didn't feel that I wanted to preach a sermon that I've got prepared, which is Hum Papa Ratio. We'll just do that next week. But I really felt that I needed to bring this to you while it's fresh on my mind, fresh on my heart. And I've got some other things that I'm going to bring to you. I've managed to get some little booklets that I gave out to all the ministers at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast Wednesday that tells them what they can do and what they can't do in a church. Do you know that we do not need the IRS to give us a tax-free status for you to be able to give your money and get a deduction from it? That the Constitution says that you can't tax a church? we can't be taxed. And they can't tax your gifts. So, I mean, that's a, you know, you probably want a 501c3, I guess you want one. We don't have one. Resurrection Life, whom we give our money through, they have one, I guess. I don't know. I never asked them. So, but the law is on your side. I can talk about these kinds of things because I'm talking about them really in a public forum. I'm not endorsing anyone. Now, the IRS code says that I cannot endorse a candidate. I don't pay any attention to the IRS candidate. I'll endorse anybody I want. All right? See, I can step away from this pulpit and just be more St. Angelo citizen. I can tell you whatever I want. Okay, I can do that. I have the right to do that. And the way the IRS thing works, by the way, every day is a new day. It's like God. Every day is a new day. If they take something away from you today, it's automatically restored tomorrow. That's the way that the systems work. So they really can't take things away. In the history of America, no church has ever been stripped of its IRS standing, 501c standing. Because it's in the Constitution. Okay. I can tell you about issues, which I intend to do. I can tell you about candidates. I can invite the candidates in. You know, I can make, you know, whoever was running for the United States Senate, you can come here. And I've got a thing. I'm going to bring it to you. It's the voting record on life of the men and women who are running for the United States Senate. Louisiana and our nation needs to change the profile of the United States Senate. You understand that. If you know anything about government, that needs to change. Okay? So, anyway, now I'm talking. Morris is talking. I've already told you everything God wanted to tell you, all right? So, I appreciate you letting me speak. Any comments or questions before I let you go? Oh, Suzette, yes.
I was just going to say, until you said what you said this morning, I didn't realize it, but I could have been a Canadian because of my Cajun background. But Canada didn't want them and kicked them out.
They kicked them
and
out.
And America took my family
took
in.
In.
And
God bless. Isn't that amazing?
I never realized that.
Yeah.
Looked at it that way.
You know? What a great place. Go read the inscription on the bottom of the Statue of Liberty. Just go read it. I can't quote the whole thing for you. Anybody quote it? No? No? Send it to us, your huddled masses, you know. This place is there's nothing like it on the planet. And there are those who want to destroy it. Ever? What's that? We're going to change that through our vote and our prayers and our trust in God. And we're still going to be a church. I'm not changing this into a political operative group. But I'm just going to tell you as much as I can in order to help you be well informed. And if you get information, pass it on to me, okay?
Errol. You know, just a thought that you said earlier that men and women that are 65 and up are generally dying off. Mm. And this is the group of people that seem to stand up for our country more than the younger people, the younger generation of today. But I hope they rise up.
Well, they paid a high price for it. I mean, one of the things they talk about at the conference is that armies go out to capture and control land. We have not done that. We send our army out to shed the blood of our young men and now women to free other people. That's the American ideal in action. We do that. Yes, Ms. Gale.
I'd like to know.
I cannot tell you that right this moment, but I will tell you what the issues are. I will investigate that and bring that to you so you'll know on, you know, what issues that we can vote on. And yeah, I'll let you know. In fact, The best place to get information that I know of is the Louisiana Family Forum, which you could probably Google it. They have voting records on everybody, on every issue they voted, who is running for public office. And that information is available. And we'll get that for you. I'm also going to bring in voter registration cards for you. If you're not registered to vote, you will be registered to vote. I'm going to strangle you like a little neck. So we'll bring that here for you. You'll be able to do that. And again, this is well accepted within the confines. One of the things David Lane is doing, he has put up of his own money to bring over 10,000 pastors to the conferences around the country. And he's paid for it himself. Hasn't asked for a thing. And we're going to have what they call a stand-up Sunday, where we have those who are registered to vote to stand up, and we'll give registration cards to those who haven't stood up, and we'll give you a registration card to get you voted, registered. So if you don't want to be embarrassed, and I don't mean it to embarrass you, I don't mean to encourage you, let's do this. This is a family, all right? It's a family. We are family. We really are family, and we help each other, we keep this thought in your mind. Judeo-Christian values, all right? This is not the gospel of Christ, per se, but it's those values. And even people who don't believe in God don't realize that they are affected by those Judeo-Christian values. It's pretty much safe for you to live in this town because of those values that have been established. Yes, ma'am.
Judeo-Christian values allow others to worship as they please.
Exactly.
Why do they want to take away from us what we've given freely to them?
It's their whole mentality. It's the whole leftist mentality. It's a whole education of things. I'd be glad to get you guys, those of you who like to read, I'll get you a reading list of books to read. Here's the thing. A lot of books are good at identifying the problem. I understand the problem. I need to know about the solution. Right? And the only thing I see right now, I got narrow vision. The only thing I see right now that I believe will work on a national scale is voting. That seems to be the thing, I say. Yes, sir.
I have information that Obama's group from the first election, when he was first elected, that he sent his group out. They worked round the clock to make sure that second election was won. Mm-hmm. They didn't care what they did, whether it was legal or illegal, they did it.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for that firsthand, but I've heard that. But I tell you what we can do. We will legally vote. And if you're not a citizen, I'll help you get citizenship, all right? We'll do that. Okay, I need... Yes, ma'am. Okay.
A couple of things that I thought of as we've all been speaking. One of the things that really emphasized at the conference is that you vote Christian. We are a Christian group, just like all these other groups. We're also a group, and that we vote Christian first, Christian values. So if you want to think about that, that might help. Mm. The other thing that was a real emphasis and realization to me, all of my life, I always thought the most important election was the presidential election. I've always thought, okay, we got to vote for the president, and then. The others, that's fine, but the president, vote for the president. Do you know that the senators and the representatives are of equal power as the president of the United States?
Sure.
We don't get to vote for the judges, but we get to vote for the people who approve of the appointing of the judges. Mm. So it really helped me to broaden my view and to the fact that to vote in the, what do they call the elections? Midterm elections. Okay. To vote for senators and representatives of the United States. And Morris has emphasized, of course, that our if we start at home, then we can go. We can start in Slidell, and then we can have influence in Louisiana. And God is blessing our state. I mean, you can't imagine what God is doing since he's placed Christian leaders in these positions, and how these men pray for Governor Jindal. He spoke to us, and I mean, he asked for prayer. He meets once a month with his group, just like the mayor here. Where does that happen? And he has influence. God's given Governor Jindal favor with other politicians and people in his realm. And so that's another thing besides voting. We can get behind and be supportive of the people that God's put in positions of a wider circle of influence than that we have. When you have a chance to stand up with somebody, do. Stand up, back up, speak up for people who are walking in the, you know, the wisdom of God and trust in God. One of the other things that I wanted to mention is the movie America. In fact, it has. If you want to go look, Google it. It's AmericaTheMovie.com, I think. But it's absolutely one of the best history lessons. It refutes all kind of unbelievable, shameful things that are being said about our nation. That's one of the political strategies, is to make everybody feel ashamed of who we are. You know, we had slaves, and we did this, and we did that. And this man who does this documentary, in your face, talks about all of these things that are absolutely true. We did have slaves in America, but they never tell you what we have done. We had 360,000 Americans die to destroy slavery. We're the only nation in the world that has ever gone to war to abolish slavery. And slavery is in every nation in the world. But America's the one that gets the big black eye, you know. But America's the only nation that's ever done anything about it. That's just one of the little tiny things that this man talks about. He addresses the issue with the American Indians. Help me, Morris. What are other things? Anyway, let me just... Yes, and he addresses that issue. If we've stolen, then we need to pay back. There's all of that's been done. There's so much in place. Morris talked about the American Mexican War. We did not start a war with Mexico. Mexico started a war with Texas. I forgot what it called. Texicans.
Yeah.
Texicans were being persecuted. And the Texicans were a part of Mexico, and they rose up against their government, and they there was a fight over the border, and that's what caused the American-Mexican War. We conquered all. If I don't think conquered's the right word. Anyway, we won the war, and took possession, if you will, of all of Mexico, which included California, New Mexico. I don't remember, but I mean gigantic place. Okay. We went in, restored all of Mexico, gave the Mexican government back half of the land. Okay. And as Morris says, there aren't any Mexicans that are trying to get out of America to go back. They are all trying to come here. But these are just a couple of the things. But he really addresses things. You know, you can have, there's something very, very important about your heritage. You know, it gives you roots. It gives you a sense of dignity, I want to say pride, in a good way. You know how your parents always talked about if you have to choose, in fact, it's a scripture. If you have to choose between gold and a good name, what are you supposed to choose? A good name. A good name. And America is the greatest nation in the world. And we have a good name to protect. And that's basically what this movie is all about. He tells of the truth about the founding of our country, the things that happened and that we went through, and what we've done to correct the things that we've done wrong. But mostly, he exposes unbelievable lies and the people who have told them. So please, if you can, please go see the movie and take people with you. And I'm going to address Brian and Jamie just because you're the youngest people here. We went to the movie. It was probably about a third full of the people that were there. Probably 85% of those people were in our age category. It made me absolutely want to weep. So please, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. We stood in the line to get our tickets. We talked to some. We were kind of chatting. They had a long line. They had more people out in front of the movies than I've ever seen when we were in line. And I thought, man, what's going on? You know, so started talking to some people. A couple of people behind me, they were going to see America, you know, and I said, yeah, I've heard it was really good and all that. And there was a young couple in front of us, and I said, what are y'all going to see? And they're going to say, we're going to see Planet of the Apes. You know, and that was the exact same reaction I had. That just blind, walking off a cliff. Walking off a cliff. And I encouraged him. I said, well, maybe if you have a chance, you'll get to go see America. I said, it's very patriotic. Even though I knew I had not seen it, someone had told me about it. I said, it'll really make you proud of your country. So, anyway, please consider it. And, you guys, younger and have influence and with the younger generation, too. So, please, help us. Help us.
Yes.
In regard to that movie, we did see it just shortly after, Sunday after it was out. And I want to mention, it is America, but the title says something. It says, America, imagine us without her.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine us without her. And that's what I want to express here, emphasize, because with all you've heard today, go ahead and do that. Imagine yourself without America. See the movie if you haven't.
Amen. Okay.
I just want to say one thing. the reason I believe that people that believe these things that we believe, and it's hard because the pressures of the thing called greed. The greed starts, starts taking its place in people's lives, and they see it, and it's just so overwhelming. Because I mean, even if you start a business, and you start going to do, because I know quite a few business people that they're in a battle now because of people that are gaining that stature where they form that power to take and willing to give some to somebody that it's not worth, but they're willing to give more than what it's worth so that they give it up because it's so much to pass up. You understand what I'm saying? It's just so much to pass up. So they give into it because of the greed. And that's what they're working on too. You know, I mean, they work on people in that way that takes over certain areas to start coming in and saying, if you have a business, or they'll give you more than what is value. So it's the temptation to give in to that greed, you know. So, I mean.
That's good. Okay. Well, I've kept you guys pretty long. Yes, Ms. Liz?
Going on in our government, I got this letter from the U.S. Senator Bob Smith, and he says President Obama is giving away the internet. Then signed, he gave me a petition to sign. He said because Obama has ordered that the U.S. surrender control of the internet to China, Russia, Iran, and worse. And I'll let you take the keep the letter. And you can read
it. Well, I tell you what, they're going to have a hard time giving it away because I understand that Al Gore doesn't want to give it away. Since he invented it. I'm aware of that. Okay, let's all stand. Hope you're not too disappointed in this morning. But hey, listen, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not the dumbest rock either. I know when God wants to do something different, so we did something different this morning. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the nudging of your Holy Spirit. Father, in direct contrast to Reverend Wright, who said, God damn America, we say, God bless America. Amen. And we ask you to bless this great nation. Give us wisdom as citizens to know what to do and not to strike out on our own, but to seek you and seek your face. Your word says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. We ask you to order our steps, Lord, that we will do and say and the things that you've called us to do and to say. Father, cause this day to be blessed wherever we go. Thank you for letting us be born and migrate, immigrate into this great nation. And Lord, let America stand as a bastion of freedom until such time as you come to take us all home. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay.